Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Julieta Talevi, and tackling your questions on the line this evening are David Shapiro from Sussman Securities and Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. If you'd like to send questions, SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. David, Wayne, good evening to you both. Wayne, if I may start with you, it is a flat finish for the JSE today. And the Rand strengthened, which is quite interesting, notwithstanding the... And I don't know if this is all linked, but perhaps you can explain how it might be, to the inflation numbers that came out of the US. And everyone seems to be shrugging those off. So clearly the view is that it's all transitory, even though prices are going up way above the Fed's target.
Yes. I mean, all the Fed wanted for 12 years was inflation. Now they're getting too much inflation. But it's a worry. I mean, this is the only true question for fund managers and people who are interested in their investments over the next year is inflation going to 2-2.5%, because then it'll be okay, but is it going to stay at 4 or 5%, because then clearly it's not going to be okay. I think it's going to 2-2.5%, but then so does every other person on the planet. In other words, as you said, this transitory thing, look, certain things are transitory, make no mistake about that, but if oil goes to 100, that's not transitory.
Mm. That's the risk. Yeah. Why do you think it is transitory, Wayne?
A lot of it is just base effects. A lot of it is supply issues, chip shortages. That should all iron itself out. And I think the commodity cycle has turned down and oil will follow. Oil is artificially high. There is no shortage of oil. Mm. There is no shortage. And I think that the OPEC plus countries... Look, in 15 years' time, we'll use half the oil we do now. And the higher the price is now, the quicker the acceleration to non-oil power. And OPEC doesn't want to accelerate that trend. Yeah. So I think they'll actually pump some more to get that price down. That's my view.
Yeah, David, do you have a different view?
No, I just hope they've got the oil. Because I think a couple of years ago, we were talking about how much oil there was, how much gas there was, how much coal there was. So all of a sudden, we're now talking how little there is. So, there's a misconnect or a disconnect between the two. And that might be because there's just been no investment in the meantime when we thought there was an abundance. So I think everybody's scared to let go of their reserves because they're not prepared to spend on actually increasing their reserves again. So you've got this, everybody's so cautious. Even the frackers, I thought that the frackers would start releasing, or pumping more oil and, opening more wells, but we're not seeing that as well. So it's a difficult situation and it's causing a lot of issues. Finally, Putin's coming to the party. I mean, he's been holding back. This is just like a James Bond move. He's finally coming out. The villain is now releasing the oil and, wanting to capture the world. This is Goldfinger all over
again. Well, you say Goldfinger. I was thinking the title for a movie for 2021 could be Meet the Frackers. I mean, that could be another title. But anyway, moving on. But there is a question, actually, on inflation. And before we get to stocks, it's saying, my assertion is that inflation will most certainly not be transitory. Logic dictates this. High oil prices will fuel food inflation and other types of inflation. Another main source of inflation is from the green energy goals and electrification objectives. Increased demand for resources needed for this will increase their prices. So that's also something to consider. Does that make sense? Also, my view is that uranium is undervalued. What is the outlook for uranium prices over the next 5 years? So I don't know if that was a great preamble to uranium. And I have to go, I have to stick with David here, Wayne, before I go to you, because David famously invested his bar mitzvah money in a uranium stock and lost it all, yeah. David. Huh? You have not, you and uranium are not friends.
Dominion Reef. My dad invested in a company called Dominion Reef, my bar mitzvah money, and every day I would run when the star was delivered to look at the price of Dominion Reef. And one day I looked and I couldn't find Dominion Reef. It had gone, vanished. But I think every time there is an oil crisis, suddenly the whole issue of uranium comes up. And I think that there's deep, deep reluctance to go into uranium simply because of what is perceived the risks you know, of nuclear power. So I think that so many nuclear power stations have been closed down for worries about, because of the risks associated. So I think uranium comes and goes, but don't touch uranium shares. Mm.
Well, it's coming at the moment, I suppose. Wayne, your thoughts? Because, okay, so David has perennially scarred from his uranium experience, but it is at its highest levels since 2012. You've got people like
Neil. And I watch The Simpsons. Remember, I watch The Simpsons as well. You know, I watch Homer Simpson, and that scared me off for life. Yeah.
So. But the three-eyed fish.
Wasn't there also a company called UUU? It also disappeared?
Yes, that's right.
There were lots of companies that disappeared. And in fact, Neil Froneman was involved with one of those uranium companies. But he was saying in the last set of results that they are going to look at exploiting the uranium resources, I think, in the Beatrix mines. So they have existing resources. He's a savvy operator. He can sort of spot a trend. And I do wonder if the price is maybe going to rally for a while. Wayne, what do you think?
Look, it could, but coming back to inflation, I mean, to get truly runaway inflation, it's not fueled by oil, it's not fueled by food, it's not fueled by commodity prices. True runaway inflation is fueled by excess consumer debt expenditure. That is true runaway inflation. Now, I know wages are going up in the US, I get all of this, but there's no rampant, wild animal spirit consumer binge spending and borrowing going on. That's the only true driver of runaway inflation, and I don't see that here or overseas.
Okay.
Julieta, that's such a good point. And why it's a good point is that we've not come out of a financial crisis. We've come out of a health crisis. And so many of consumers have been saving money, so they're not under pressure. You know, they're not feeling the pressure. And what's important is that if oil prices do go up, or if prices do go up, they can actually manage that. You know, they're not going to be sunk, so they can sustain, or they can manage higher prices as well. So I don't think just remember what Wayne said. I think that is, you know, it's a very important issue. Companies are not under pressure. Consumers are not under pressure. So if prices do go up, they can manage them quite easily.
Yeah.
Okay. Because normally you get a total collapse in when everything goes truly, to the pits. And when you get a total financial collapse is when there's a debt bubble that's burst by higher interest rates. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying the equity market's going up, but I think we're going to be in for relatively poor equity returns for a year or two, just given the valuations and how well they have done. But a total and utter collapse on the back of higher inflation stroke, higher interest rates, economic collapse, I don't see it. There's no consumer debt bubble. There's no corporate debt bubble. There's a government debt bubble, clearly.
Yeah.
Massive government debt. But that's over 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Yeah. And they don't have to refinance every 2 years. I mean, they refinance a very small proportion of their book each year at higher interest rates. And of course, the government hasn't got a banker that phones them and says, I'm pulling your loan.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on to stocks. And there's a question saying, I heard a report today about there being a shortage of cars for car rental companies. I appreciate that this is opportunistic, but do you foresee an upside to companies like Motus and Supergroup, as the cars would have to be bought from someone? In addition, would Barloworld be a beneficiary as a major player? Well, I mean, I suppose interestingly that Barloworld is actually selling out of the.
Hold on.
Is it selling out of the logistics business or the fleet business? I've got confused there.
Can't remember now. Yeah. But look, motor car rentals. We've got to get tourists first year in South Africa. We've got to get the tourists back because they rent the cars. But there is pressure worldwide on car rentals because they just can't get the new cars. But understand, this is temporary. It truly is temporary. I mean, when the capitalistic system gets moving, same as the vaccinations, in 6 months' time, a year's time, we'll be swimming in chips, same as now we're swimming in vaccine.
The car rental, they were a big source of secondhand cars, a massive. And so you're not getting them because they weren't buying the new cars because they're no tourists. So the secondhand car industry is also suffering from a lack of stock. So you've got prices going up there as well. And then also, because there are no new cars because of the chips, that's also putting pressure, upward pressure on car prices. So, you know, that, but Wayne says this is temporary. I don't think this is going to be long lasting. We already, if you looked at the inflation numbers in the US today, you can see that secondhand cars, or what they called formerly, whatever, I don't know what the new way
pre-loved.
Is. What are your pre-loved, your pre-owned have come down, you know, did come down because of that, yeah.
But on, specifically on Motus or Supergroup or Barloworld, or for that matter, Transaction Capital, if you're saying, you know, Transaction Capital bought We Buy Cars, which obviously sells secondhand cars. I mean, do you see any of these? Is it just a short-term fillip for all of them? Or is it already actually in the share price? Wayne?
Look, Transaction Capital's got a lot more going for it than secondhand car sales, eh?
Mm. Yeah.
A lot more. I mean, it's a fantastic company. But the other ones will benefit from the higher prices because it's higher margins. Mm. But at least temporary, eh?
Okay. Then there's a question on Ascendus, and it came out with a cautionary today, and the shares rallied on the cautionary, which is, I think, the buyout. It's one of the pharma business.
They were up about, I don't know, 20%. I saw. I don't know where they were. I just saw, as soon as I saw that share price, I said, expect a question tonight. You know, definitely.
Okay, well, I hope
David
you're prepared.
Can answer. David,
there you
can
go,
answer.
15%.
I'm not prepared. So, I just saw that.
David can answer.
Yeah.
Well, the question
I
is,
don't know what the story is. Yeah.
The question is, does this old dog have one last bark? It's not actually such an old dog, but it is maybe a dog. What offers can be expected for pharma, considering it has well-established brands? Today's SENS update wasn't very helpful. So it is, it's received, I think, an offer for the pharma business. But yes, I mean, there was no detail on, you know, what the offer entails.
The shares
were
up about 15.6%. They were, I saw they closed up 15.6%. So I have no idea. I've never followed Ascendus. And yet every week I'm trying to deflect asking questions on Ascendus. So I have no idea.
I mean, hey, okay. Wayne, anything further to add?
This is like the barrel of sardines, you know. It's just, I don't know. This is a company made for trading, you know, not for eating.
Yeah. So, yeah, look, it's option money. You could do very well, but if the offer disappears, the shares go down again.
Yeah.
Look, okay. They have not been successful, and we all know that.
Mm. Yeah, too much debt. It's sort of a classic tale of how not to put a company together. Okay, sorry to the viewer that we can't really give any great insight. There's a question on NASPAS process, which we actually haven't spoken out about for a long time. It says, almost feels like a lifetime with no news surrounding Tencent in the recent couple of weeks. If no news is good news, should I be looking to add to either of these counters with the price still way off the highs year to date? If 2021 was the year of the S&P 500, I get a sneaky feeling that Chinese tech is setting up for a bumper 2022, which would be interesting given the nervousness that that ripped through the markets a few weeks ago. Do you think that's possible?
We're starting to see a bottom. If you followed Alibaba, I think they've recovered like from the bottom.
Over 20%.
Over 20%, yeah. And you're starting to see Pinduoduo, JD Group, Meituan, all of those coming off their low levels. And also the regulatory pressures somehow easing. You know, the fines haven't been as severe as everyone expected. So I would brace myself. I saw that the global lithium battery, you know, first of all, Hong Kong was closed today because of typhoons. But Chinese stocks are starting to show a little bit of form. So it could be well be right. You know what's interesting as well is that NASPAS process are not trading anywhere close to the levels that they have been in the past, you know, once we saw this restructuring. In fact, more than often now you're finding Anglos or Impala or someone actually trading more than both of them. So they've also lost, in the volumes. We're not seeing the big, big volumes coming through that we did in the past.
Do you think that's because everyone was just spooked from what had happened? What has happened?
I can't. I don't know. You know, because it was generally the derivative traders or the that were right in the auction. You'd see massive trade taking place, and that with rebalancing. But that rebalancing is not taking place to the extent that it did. So you're seeing a lot lower trade in both of those than we have in the past. Yeah.
Yeah. Wayne, are you still with us? Because you have sort of frozen. Okay. We have your disembodied voice, but sadly your face is frozen in time. Not always a bad thing for any of us.
Yes, totally. I wish it was frozen in time 30 years ago, but yeah. We think NASPAS and Prosus are very, very cheap, and there will be value unlocked there. Okay. I think they're extremely cheap at these levels.
Then there's a question on Bytes, and the question is, the Bytes story is a positive one of how a corporate carve-out can flourish and unlock shareholder value via its own listing. The share itself is already up by 50%. So taking a closer look at the UK market fundamentals, 42,000 private sector companies collectively spending over 2 trillion rand on IT annually, it still looks as if there are plenty enough growth opportunities for the Bytes story to continue. Would you concur? David, while we have you solo on screen.
I don't know where Wayne's gone.
No, I'm still here. I've just got the camera.
Okay. It's a very relevant point. There's a massive transition to digitization. Sorry, I don't want to use big words, but what it means is that a lot of companies still have to move to the cloud, are still running their books on processes, you know, on old technology. So I think any business that is involved in IT, I think, is very well placed to benefit. And I would imagine companies like Bytes, you know, who can offer that service, if they do, will benefit. Because, for me, there's huge transformation taking place. Hmm. So, it's a relevant point.
Wayne, do you like Bytes? Do you think that the prospects for growth are well intact in the UK?
Yes, I think so as well. I agree with David. There's still a long way to go in this, and Bytes will be a very big beneficiary of it.
Okay. Then just a very quick question, just before we get to your stock picks, on Curro, which we haven't spoken about for a long time. Mm. What's the panel's opinion? Seems very undervalued, hasn't grown nearly as much as its competitors. It doesn't have too many competitors. I mean, I suppose it outgrew its competitors and then kind of came all the way back. Wayne, while I stick with you, any thoughts on Curro? Do you think it's kind of going through its tough grind?
This was just too wonderful. I don't know, 5, 8, 10 years ago, it was just too wonderful. There seemed to be limitless growth prospects for their various offerings. But it's not what it used to be. You've got immigration, people leaving, affordability levels. I still think the share's cheap, but it has probably gone a little bit ex-growth. I mean, remember the days where they didn't have enough money to pursue all the prospects. Hmm. But I still think it's a good company, and I think the share is undervalued.
David, your thoughts on Curro?
I think it's a very good business model, and it's a very good, overall model. But you have to fill a school. You build a new school. You can't start. It's like a gym. You need full membership to get the benefits. And I think, Wayne mentioned that I think numbers are going down. I think it's very, very difficult for them to maintain the kind of prospects that we originally thought would happen a few years ago. Mm. But listen, they've let off a lot of steam. They're much cheaper than they were. I like education. I think for choice, I'd rather go for Advertech. I just think it's also in tertiary education, and also does a lot of corporate education, a lot more to it than maybe Curro.
Yeah, and probably, more chance of a dividend. Okay, very quickly, your stock picks. David, just sticking with you while we still have you on screen.
I'm on the chip side. I just think that there's an enormous demand for chips. And I was looking at TSM, which is, went through its own problems in Taiwan, but I think it's ready to break out now as demand starts to pick up and the chip shortage is covered. So I like TSM.
Okay. And Wayne, how about you?
Going for BlackRock, that came out with very good results, good asset growth, good profit growth. Yeah, that just undemanding rating, so I'll go for BlackRock.
Okay, we shall leave it there. Wayne in the ghostly ether and David with us all in on screen. David Wayne, thanks very much for joining us this evening. David Shapiro is from Sassman Securities. Wayne McCurry is from FNB Wealth and Investments. And we'll be back tomorrow night to take more of your questions. Have a good evening. We'll be right back.